The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I have Dr. Ed Rivera on with us and Peter Neese, my usual scheduled Wednesday guest. And we seem to have some gaps here. I'll be honest with you, I am now more confused than I've ever been. And we have a country that is in great peril. We have a federal government mandating and dictating whatever it damn well wants to do, and I can't see any remedy. There is no place that I can go, nobody I can talk to. I mean, what am I forced to do when, and the doctor says that it's not really federal agencies, but they call themselves agents. They presume that they have power over me. And at the point of a gun, if I don't cooperate, I'm a dead man. Or I'm jailed. So, having said that, Dr. Rivera, what does this have to come down to? The Second American Revolution? Because if I'm going to pit myself against the American military and their combined forces now through NATO, I'm a dead man. I am a man without a country. I am a man that I cannot defend myself. Well, I can, but for a minute, and then I'll be absolutely, positively dead. Where do I go from there, doctor?
Well, I was in the military. I did my 6 years reserve duty service. And I wouldn't kill anybody that was an American, just simply because he was trying to claim his freedom. And I think the same thing would hold true for anybody else that was in an American military uniform. Wouldn't turn his weapons on the American people.
Maybe when you and I were in the military, but that was a different day.
Dr. Rivera, one thing real quick here. Under Clinton's presidency, under PPD, which is basically power, to issue whatever he wants to issue, as far as law is concerned, the United States military services were handed over to the United Nations. That is a fact, sir.
I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the individual. In order to put power...
Wait. The individual under the original Constitution was supposed to have the army to protect him. Right now it doesn't, or all the services. It doesn't do that.
Well, we're down into the crunch where the military is going to be used against the American people to keep them in line, to take away the final bit of freedom they have. That's what we're talking about, and I'm saying that won't happen. So because that won't happen, what can we do? We can train our minds to understand the law so that we can teach others what the law really is.
That's what I'm saying. The law that we were under our United States of America from 1776 until 1863 was the American common law. We're not under that anymore, sir.
It's not true. The law we're complaining about is limited to federal territory and to the government.
No, it's not. Everything has been converted over to federal.
What I'm doing is I'm showing everyone by example that their law is exactly as it's written. It applies only to federal territory and the government.
Yeah, but to have any law have any teeth in it, you have to have people that are willing to support it. And what John was
saying, he can't tell the truth about what the government does, what the
government is doing.
Okay, fine,
but we can't... we can't find anybody who basically wants to say, okay, you can go ahead and use now the organic law. And like I said, John and I both said,
that is their law. That's why I tell you, get their book, read their book, and find out all that's happened is that people are mistaken about what the law is. It's a simple matter of straightening people out.
See, the kind of law that they use is private international law. That's why the United States is a member of the
right,
UN.
Right, it's private, so it adheres to a property. So
yeah, okay.
Well,
and
it's
you
limited
have...
to the planet. Well, it's limited to planet Earth. Well, let's see if it's limited further. And I say it's limited to what they own. And I can
now,
prove
there's...
it.
There's an escape clause, basically, under Article 1, Section 10, that allows people to voluntarily make a transition out of their unalienable rights and move on over to what we call corporate
privilege.
You can make
yourself a slave any day of the week.
The what?
There's no prohibition against you making yourself a slave to whatever tenet or belief you want.
I understand that. But when...
Well, that's why I'm saying one of the rules for them to bring you over was you had to voluntarily move over, and that's what they've done through contracts, that's what they've done through registrations of property, and that's what they've done through applications for work. You can't go anywhere anymore for work in the basically old United States of America and say, hey, Mr. Employer, this is who I am, and the employer says, no, you're not. I'm mandated by the IRS and everything else to get all of these numbers from you because we're living under a different system.
No, it's a belief. Everything is a belief. Everything is
I
a
understand
thought
that, but
so
behind those
behind,
thoughts,
you change the universe.
No, okay. Behind those beliefs, you have to have somebody that's going to enforce it.
Well, you're a good candidate for that. If I can change your mind, then I can change anybody's mind.
Well, and I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around as to what I'm supposed to change my mind to, Doctor. As I said, I'm not joking.
All I teach is that look. If you learn to read their law, mm-hmm. you will see that it's exactly as I said it is. It's limited to federal territory.
Okay, but my question to you before: if I do not pay the IRS or I do not pay whatever homage to the federal government that they said that I say that, let's just take IRS for instance. If I do not pay my federal taxes, then I have the IRS agents down on me, they're auditing me, they're confiscating banking accounts. And if I'm not in one of the areas that the government owns outright, not one of their territories within the state, well, then I should just be able to look at that IRS guy and go, hey, nice try, see ya. And that should be the end of it. But it is not.
Well,
they will destroy you and jail you.
It's a start, but you can look at a person and say, what are you? You're not an agent of a principal. Remember, in order to be an agent, you have to have a principal.
Who's the principal? He's got the United States. Basically, the United States, which I told you, Colombia.
Principal is a human being. It's got to be a person.
No. That's why the 14th Amendment came in, Doctor.
An agent is a person.
Doctor, 89% of the cases under the 14th Amendment were for corporations and to give them freedom like they were a real live human being.
The corporation exists because the government says it exists.
Well, okay. We had corporations under our old law, too, but they were only allowed to be there for a certain amount of time. This martial law rule that we've been into...
These are all artificial persons. I'm not talking about an artificial person that
can
be treated by a government that is limited to its own territory. I could do the same thing in any parcel of land that I owned. I could make up a fence and make all kinds of corporations and do all sorts of silly things. That can be interpreted as grand and magnificent, and claim the authority that the government has. The government just is able to do that because they have manpower.
Yeah, and that's the
problem.
And a bunch of dumb people who want to believe them.
What happened to President Kennedy when he wanted to go back to a silver U.S. note, and he issued them? What happened to him?
Well, I don't know if his killing was a consequence of his wanting to go back to the silver.
Well, sure it is. Remember, we've been under martial law and martial law rule so that we can go ahead and initiate the
Libra Code. We have been under martial law since George Washington.
I understand that. Okay, but we're saying, what law are we under? We're not under the American common law. And there's several cases that say that. We're under equity, and we're under maritime law.
Yep. You don't understand. There can be no equity. Equity was under a king. Because
equity was the undoing
of the common law. In order to get equity, you had to prove that your remedy at law was inadequate. That was the king's
I realize you're bringing this up, but the equity that we have, the new interpretive equity that we have under their codes, basically is contracting with them. Okay, and once we contract with them, then they switch from equity into Admiralty Maritime Law on the contract, the registration, and the applications to work.
In order to have a contract, you have to have contracting parties that are qualified to contract. And you can't find a person that's qualified to contract under the government who can bind the government except it'd be the President of the United States of America or the President of the United States.
Well, then why do we – let me ask this question. Then why do we have the Tenth Amendment in the several states?
You have the Constitution in order to fool everybody because the – you know, George Bush was right. The Constitution is just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper. It has not been adopted by a government.
All right, so how do we get
– cleverly avoided that so that they could rule people out of the people's ignorance.
Okay, so how do we get the Articles of Confederation back in?
All you have to do is go to the congressman and say, okay, congressman, prove to me that the Articles of Confederation have been replaced by the Constitution. Here's my copy of the United States Code. What are you going to do, rip it out of my code? You're going to prove that the Articles of Confederation have been replaced? That way.
Mr. Rivera, with all due respect again, I've been to my congressman and stuff and presented arguments like this. He laughs me out of the office.
People should not laugh him. They can either laugh him out of the office or vote him out of the office or just ignore him out of the office.
Yeah, if you look at the statutory law, it's converted everything over to the Federal District of Columbia. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They've used the same piece of paper, but they read it under a different law.
It's not accurate because look at the district courts. Where do you look at you're familiar with Title 28? You look at Title 28. You go to Chapter 5 and you find the district courts. Yeah, there's a whole list of all the district courts. These are the trial courts for the federal court system.
Dr. Rivera, under Rule 38E of the Federal District Court Rules, it says that you have a right to a common law jury. I'd like to see somebody exercise that, and I'd like to see a common law jury called in because, again, going back to the old Constitution of the United States of America, it's in the Seventh Amendment, okay? But now when you go into what we have today, it's not being used because the people have been converted by contract, Article 1, Section 10. They've contracted themselves out of their old system.
I can't contract myself out of my unalienable rights. That's why they're unalienable.
Well, I'd like to see you oppose them then.
That seems to be what is at issue here.
That
the people are claiming rights, and the government is ignoring them.
That's right.
Where can they do that? Where can they ignore those rights when they're on the?
They do it under private international law, under martial law rule and rule of necessity.
That's right.
That's how they do it.
They're making law for what they own.
But
they own everything.
We own the United States. The United States is the federal territory that is owned by the United States of America, beginning with the Northwest Ordinance and all the land.
No. Come in today's times, okay, because John was telling you the truth. There's a lot of states, it was against the law for the federal government under the patent that took place in 1862 to own land within the United States of America unless it was for military purposes. Right now you've got the Washington, Oregon, and you've got all these wooded areas or whatever that are owned by the United States of the District of Columbia.
But see, here's my problem, and this is what I had said before. If the United States government is owning land in all of the 50 states, well, then they have jurisdiction they can do and say to anybody that is occupying, probably illegally, but occupying that land that the government says that it's owning, but they're expanding that out to the entire state. The government,
right.
The government is constantly telling me that this is the law, and we have jurisdiction, and you're in the wrong, and we'll send our guys with the shiny badges and the guns to make sure you comply, and if you don't, if you resist, we have the right to kill you. Forget the fact you can go into court and argue this. There's no argument. You're either going to submit and comply, or we'll have our way with you. Now, this seems to be what is at issue. The problem is, how do we make ourselves known to this government that I do have unalienable or unalienable rights and get the hell away from me? And I really mean it.
Well, by learning their law, but not the way the other guest suggests we know the law, by some cockamamie system of jumping from one law to another law to another. You do it in a systematic way, starting from the beginning, and you see what exactly transpired in the history of America to put us in the situation that we are in today.
And that's what we're trying to get down to.
All that has happened is that the government makes these outrageous laws that control everything.
Yeah.
Because they can. They can make these laws because all they're making these laws apply to is what they own. And whoever
hold on.
You want to let's make it simple. Let's not make it complicated by throwing contract law into it and admiralty and a bunch of other stuff that has nothing really to do with what they did in the beginning and have continued to do since they got a foothold on our freedom.
Mr. Rivera, what I was trying to get through to you is contracts were interpreted through the old common law. You can see it in case law and everything else up until 1938.
Okay, well, remember the federal system starts with the Judiciary Act of 1789, September 24, 1789. On that date, there are 10 states that have ratified the Constitution. Just 10 states that ratified the Constitution, they create 13 district courts. So, what happens to those other? There's 10 states that have ratified the Constitution. They create 13 district courts for each state, making the people believe that the 13 districts represent the 13 states. So they didn't. They represent the federal territory within those states, or that could be within those states.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Rivera, if you take a look at the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment. It says there will be no lawyers in our government. Okay? That's all been changed.
Well, yeah, but you have to believe
that. Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. What are the lawyers basically getting licensed for? They're getting licensed for the codes and the statutory law.
They're getting licensed by the government.
Out of the United States of the District of Columbia, my friend, not out of the United States of America.
Dr. Rivera. Because Hold on a second, Peter. Dr. Rivera, what did you just say? You said that these lawyers are given what?
Well, they're just given licenses to practice government law.
Okay, so
you don't need a license to practice the common law.
But this is the okay, now hold on. If I walk into one of these district courts and I tell them I want a fully informed jury, you know, those are the people that could decide if the law was cockamamie or not. But they're being instructed by these judges. The judges are giving the jury members instructions and telling them, you shall not violate my instructions. That seems to go counter to what grand juries were supposed to be about, what juries in trial was supposed to be about, and I don't have a voice there. They are going to do what they are going to do, and where is my remedy? Short of shooting them or shooting myself. This is what we're down to. How do we protect that individual against this beast that's calling itself a government? Hold on one second. We're getting down to the meat of this because I'm starting to get pissed. We've got a lot of people in this country that are losing everything that they've got, and they're told that we have authority and you will submit. This is going to come down to a shooting match.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band declaring independence.
Laid their bodies down. Well, there seems to be a bone of contention as to what we've been living and dying for all these years. We're 230-some years into what some people will call the grand experiment, and it doesn't seem to be going too well for the people. Going great for government and employees, but not for the people. Dr. Vieira, I don't know that we have the time to get everybody run through your course or anybody else's course. But I do know this, that they have popped this country inside out. They have ladled debt on it and said that I'm responsible for it. They are making laws that if I look at the Constitution, of which you're saying that they have never adopted, well, then I'm a man without a country. I'm a stranger in a strange land. That I might as well not be a sovereign, plain-talking individual with my right to my life and what property I own to shield it against government confiscation for whatever damn reason they come up with. Is that about correct?
Well, you're confused. What I try to do is show people that if you understand their law and you understand it correctly, you win. It's their law. All they're doing is misapplying it to your you and your property.
Okay. So what do I need to do to hold up a piece of paper to stop the government goons from taking from me what I don't believe that is theirs, that they don't own?
Well, you have to start understanding what their law really says, because if you make things up or if you imagine things that aren't there, then you're always going to be confused. People look at the Constitution and they see, oh, there's the Chief Justice, and they think, oh, that's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Well, it's not.
Who is the Chief Justice?
Well, the Chief Justice is a legislative officer to determine what the law means with respect to the other government employees. The IRS agents, the ATF agents, that see their agents are employees. They're all employees. They create a dictatorship. They combine the President of the United States with the President of the United States of America so that they can have employees who will be little dictators.
That's exactly
It's a very simple system. It's not anything complicated. Thinking that it's complicated or making it complicated when it's very simple is the way the people are defeated.
But this is exactly what they have done. They have made it so complicated.
It gets complicated because an organism, like an organization, has to grow or it begins to die. And if the government doesn't continue to grow, it begins to die, and they will not have it, and that's what's made it grow.
John, basically, the Civil War was what changed everything. Okay, from a republic to what I call a dictator democracy. And it's on the book.
No, it was a dictatorship before. George Washington created a dictatorship.
I understand, but that dictatorship was under the American common law. It wasn't under, equity reinterpreted and Admiralty Maritime Law. We weren't supposed to be part of the United States.
You're just slapping labels on something.
No, I'm not.
Well, where is the law?
If you people out there want a concise, chronological, with the cases and everything else to show exactly what I'm talking about, you go ahead and email me at lawman07@live.com. And there it is. It's in black and white. It's on black and white paper. I can't make it any simpler.
Well, simply because it depends on where the black and white is.
Yeah.
We've been basically overthrown.
Now, I can't argue with that.
Well, I can. I think you were overthrown long before you think you were overthrown, way before the Civil War.
I know, but the people now, the
Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and have no idea what they're about.
I understand that because the school system was taken over in the early 1900s by the state. And they don't teach.
It was taken over long before that.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Well, we didn't We didn't have public schools before then.
Well, public schools have been around for a long time. And they've all taught the crap that we know today to be not true.
I got a set of McGuffey readers. I think it was for the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. And I've looked at these things, and I am just amazed. I didn't get any of this when I was in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. We have changed our operating system here. In the schools, we don't really seem to teach anymore to make independent, fierce, independent thinking people. We're teaching them how to think, not what to think. Okay?
I mean, you have that reversed. You're teaching them what to think.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Not how to think, not cognitive think. You're right. Excuse me.
That's what I do. I teach them how to think.
Well,
and using the law so that they can become superior to the people who think that they know the law, the lawyers and the judges.
So,
John,
if I'm understanding, hold on a second, Peter. If I'm understanding this correctly, I really don't have kill that. Just kill the damn break. When the goons show up, I have one of two choices as I see it right now: submit or resist. I resist, I knock one of them down, they bring 10. I knock 10 of them down, they'll bring 100. However this turns out, if I don't submit, they will kill myself. I mean, they will kill me if I do not submit.
There's a Christian way to submit, and there's a non-Christian way to submit. And I think you're taking the non-Christian way out. And turning the cheek is the way to do it, because if you do it with education, you'll win. If you just try to beat them, you'll win, but you'll be beaten too. So the best way out is to teach the law. Not make it up, but teach what the law really is, and you can prove.
The only law that we have today that recognizes the common law is the Uniform Commercial Code under 1-103.6.
The common law
and
is in your language.
Wait a minute, I'm not finished.
And the reason why
under 1-308 of the Uniform Commercial Code, it says to put without prejudice above your signature is because the words, the phrases, and everything that go along with that contract are made in their system and have totally different meanings than the meaning, basically, that you're teaching. And that protects me from it. I've done it.
You're making a mistake by granting the government the authority to contract with you or with anybody else. They have no authority other than what their property is.
Mr. Rivera, the people of the United States have accepted the script, the Federal Reserve note. It is not backed by gold or silver.
And so the people of Peru and Ecuador.
Hold on a second. I can't have two people talking. Nobody can hear what you're saying.
Which was one of the elements, basically, of the common law. All of that has been removed, is what I'm trying to tell you. We're not living under American common law anymore.
People do live under the common law because they obey the common law. It's in their language. Murder is defined in their language.
Their language. Mr. Rivera, their language is under private international law. And that's one thing that the Constitution forbid. The original Constitution forbidded the people from living under private international law.
There's a big difference between how you teach and how I teach. I show people in black and white in the organic law what the law means and how the government is bound. The only thing the government has done is convince people that the law that they make for their property and their government applies to them.
Wait a minute. That's because they're using martial law rule, and they're using
military law. Military law is you will do what we tell you to do because you're on our territory.
That's right.
That's all it is.
That's the way the law works,
because that's the way the law is written. You're free.
Okay. All right. Then why do we have the Uniform Commercial Code? And why does the Uniform Commercial Code bring out an access to the American common law on one hand, and then on the other hand, it shows how you fall into their system?
No, the Uniform Commercial Code is made up by commissioners, state commissioners who create this uniform law and then submit it to the states for their legislatures to adopt.
That's right, and what they've adopted, most people don't even know what the Uniform Commercial Code is. They don't teach it, and the lawyers cannot basically teach it to their clients.
Main to their existence? What do the people have to do with the Uniform Commercial Code? They're not in commerce.
Yes, they are. What do you think a U.S. citizen is of the District of Columbia? Territorial, private, international law.
Well, you say the words, but you're missing the whole point of it.
I don't know how it's their territory. And stuff, and I've seen all of these people, like Jonathan, going up and trying to stand up for what they believe in, because that's what they were taught in high school or whatever, and they get slammed.
Okay, doctor, if we're living in their territory, now I'm a little confused here, because you stated earlier. And this is why I wanted to define what the government owns and you say they have holdings in all the 50 states, but they don't own all the states. So where does their authority or jurisdiction, how does that come about that the government mandates to all of the people that we are the law and you will submit to that law, whatever we say it is? We can grope and poke you. We can scan you. We can make you jump through hoops. Here's this currency that is not constitutional, but we're going to mandate that you use it. And we've seen this centralized banking system all but destroy America. At what point do we say that, look, the gig is up, this is really not your venue, this is not your authority, you cannot mandate, dictate, make me submit, comply, do whatever, please go away. I don't see that happening.
Well, because you don't understand how the law works.
Am I going to make these people understand it?
Well, you can't possibly do that before you understand it. If you can't understand it, how are you going to explain it to somebody else?
All right. Okay, say that I know that everything that Dr. Rivera knows, okay? That I have everything in my head that you have in your head. Where do I go to declare my independence and government get your damned hands off of me? How do you go about doing that?
Well, you do that in several different ways. Getting a driver's license or not getting a driver's license, fighting a traffic ticket, not paying property taxes.
Okay.
Not registering to vote, not submitting to being a juror.
Okay.
All those things where the law applies and you can prove it. You're dealing with another person.
A fictionalized person?
Employee of government that has no authority. Employees have no authority. Walk into Walmart and look around and find the employees, and all they have to do is what they're employed to do. That's the same thing as the government employee. All they can do is work.
Yeah, Mr. Rivera, basically the people were tricked because they weren't explained the differences that I just explained to you about the United States of America and the United States of the District of Columbia.
Wait a minute.
They were tricked.
If you make it a subject to somebody explaining this thing to you, they're in charge, not you. You have to understand.
No. I went through
somebody
and
somebody would explain it to you.
Looked at it or whatever, and basically what the District of Columbia federal government says is, look, you volunteered. There's your signature.
The signature that says I volunteered? Is that what the signature says?
Yes. If you issue under the UCC a naked signature and look it up, then basically you're agreeing with everything that's in their contract, their registration, or their application for employment. You're agreeing with all of the laws coming out of the District of Columbia, United States.
So to stay out of their snare, doctor, I have no driver's license, I don't register to vote, I don't do any of those things, right?
No, you can take your pick of all the things that you can do to show the government that they're wrong and you're right.
Well, and
first you have to be right.
Yeah. Okay.
First you have to understand what the law really is. You can't make any mistakes about it. Because it won't work.
And
Mr. Rivera, listen, back in the 30s, we had cases where we still had law from the United States of America, and we had law of the United States, and there were several Supreme Court cases on that. And what they used to call a state citizen that didn't have any contract or ties with the District of Columbia, United States, is they used to call him a state national. Okay, or a state citizen. In fact, we've got Supreme Court cases all over that. But remember, in 1938, they bankrupted all of the elements of the American common law. So the only thing you were left to go back on, basically, was their private international law. And when you put your signature on their documents without protecting yourself, you then fell victim to transferring yourself out of your old status into your new status called a U.S. citizen.
Well, I think you're wrong on every point.
Oldest law in the world is contract law, Mr. Rivera.
When you make a contract with somebody, but it's not a contract with the government. You don't make a contract with the government. Government is forced.
No, I do make a contract with a guy. Social Security, I have to fill, I told you, contracts, applications, and registration. I make out an application. Social Security Administration looks at that application as benefits. The IRS looks at that application as a contract.
A contract is a promise. Who on the government side is going to make a promise to you?
I was tricked. They asked me, were you or are you a U.S. citizen?
It's not a contract. It's not binding.
Mr. Rivera, there's a case where there are
cases are made by legislative courts.
Aren't you going to listen to me? There's three different U.S.s. There's a case. There's three different U.S.s. So when I ask you, are you a U.S. citizen, and you say yes, how do you know which of those jurisdictions you just put yourself into?
Well, I can tell you that there are three citizens in the United States Constitution.
What I'm saying, but if I use, basically, I come with a metaphor to you, and I say, okay, are you a U.S. citizen? And I say to them, okay, explain to me which U.S. citizen you're talking about. And they go, we don't know. You just have to answer the question there. And I've already proven that to John with the jury system. And we've even had a person on, basically, that basically questioned which U.S. citizen, and they took him off the jury system right away.
You don't have to be a citizen. You can be a
That's not the point. The point is it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. There's three different definitions, basically, of what a U.S. citizen, a jurisdiction and venue are. If you don't stipulate, if you don't ask which one they're talking about, then whatever, if you just check, yes, I'm a U.S. citizen, how do you know which U.S. citizen you're basically agreeing to?
Well, it's up to you then, isn't it? Because they can't make you a citizen, can they?
Correct. That's why I say the highest law of the land is law of contract, and that's under the Uniform Commercial Code. And if you look at 1-308...
You're assuming that you can contract with the government. How can you contract with the government?
It's a corporation. We contract with corporations all the time.
And
the way we Wait a minute. You asked me a question. The way we do it is through our birth certificate, because our birth certificate is sold to the Department of Commerce in the District of Columbia, creating a fiction of law.
And they think we're their property.
Right. And when you and Mr. Rivera, when you sign without restricting your signature, you're agreeing to whatever interpretation they have, and their interpretation is you're a citizen of the United States, small c, 14th Amendment.
Anytime that you apply for a driver's license, you get you get a passport. It asks, are you a citizen of the United States? It doesn't ask if I'm...
Look at the Constitution. Look at Article 1, Section 2, Clause 2, and look at Article 1, Section 3, Clause 3, and you can find citizens of the United States there. Large c in the citizen.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Rivera, with all due respect again, how does John contract when he doesn't know which United States citizen they're talking about?
Well, then you can't contract, can you?
There we go. If you can't contract, I make a contract when I walk into their courts with a flag that they fly with the gold fringe. Well, because that's basically an Admiralty Maritime Equity Court. Basically, and the states have adopted it for their 14th Amendment citizens.
Whether it's legal, whether it's right, wrong, constitutional...
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me first.
Yeah. Why doesn't it make any sense to you, Doctor?
Well, simply because how can you contract with a government that does not have a representative that can represent the government?
I am not seeking to contract with the government, but the government contends that it owns me.
Mr. Rivera, I can volunteer.
Wait a minute.
What dealing with is on their territory.
Okay, but
the landlord. Hey, you end up in one of the landlord's apartments, and he goes in and says, "Well, what happened to the last tenant?" Well, the last tenant left me in charge of this place, and I want to rent it from you. Okay, you're subject to my rules.
Okay,
that's all it is.
Okay. So, having said that, if I own property in the Republic or the state of Texas, whichever. I own property that gives me certain unalienable rights, correct?
Okay. Now, you have to be careful about your language, because the state of Texas is the federal territory in Texas.
Okay.
Texas is a place.
Okay.
And so you've got the same boundaries that most people think is the state of Texas, but the state of Texas is the corporate entity.
That's what we've been kind of.
Yeah, so you have to make a distinction. So you didn't make a distinction. You said you were living in the state of Texas. Okay,
or republic.
Now you're made a citizen
or republic. If I claim that I am a
republic, isn't a place.
It's a political entity.
That's it.
Okay, I'm claiming my allegiance to the political entity of the Republic of Texas. Okay,
that's right, because you say you're a citizen or you're a resident of Texas.
Exactly. But that is not going to keep the federal government at bay. And what you said earlier, and people die all the time for what they believe around this globe. But it doesn't give it. It takes the one thing that the government should not have purview over, and that's your life. But yet that is what they're willing to take to enforce what they're calling law. And the only thing I'm trying to determine here today is how do we have immunity against these people? Now, turn the other cheek. It doesn't float my boat. For a government coming after me, slamming me in a federal court, and then throwing my butt in jail for 50 years is not my idea of turning the cheek and a Christian thing to do.
Well, I wasn't saying that that's what you should do. But what you should do is require them to obey their own laws.
And no, I am talking to
you're talking about private international law and maritime law and stuff that makes no sense to them. As soon as you start making sense to them by quoting their law as exactly as it's written, then they were starting to run scared. But if you start talking to them about selling your birth certificate and having the United Nations run the country, they're going to laugh at you. When you start using their language, their terms exactly as they have them printed, you're going to get somewhere.
Doctor, why didn't Arizona use the 10th Amendment?
In regards to the alien problem
Yes. I teach my students that the Constitution has been adopted. If you want to use real law, don't go to the Constitution. The federal judges are telling you the same thing.
Okay.
Don't talk to me about the Constitution in my courtroom because it doesn't apply because it hasn't been adopted.
The 10th Amendment.
They're using private territorial law.
Right. Well, how did they get to use private territorial law? They used it through what? Contract. I have the contract.
Oh no, you're using.
Okay. All right, doctor.
Your argument about you always relying on contract.
Okay.
There is no contract. You have to have consideration. You have to have consenting parties. You've got to have contracting parties. You've got to have people that can make promises and deliver on those promises. You have nothing in your relationship with government.
Hold on, Peter. Okay, so if the Constitution is not the law, where do I go for the law?
The law is already in your language. That's the basic law, the English common law. You look in the dictionary, you find murder. It's an unlawful killing of another human being without justification.
Mm-hmm.
It defines the law. It's good enough for common, ordinary day living. Theft is defined the same way, taking the property of another intending to permanently deprive that person of his possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. Why would we make it complicated?
We're not making it complicated. The federal government does not recognize state citizenship. Why?
Because it's making law for its own territory.
And the people have helped the federal government of the District of Columbia by using their script, because that's what was used to change the law also.
People use American money.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as American money.
From what I understand, Doctor, the Federal Reserve, the central bank here in this country, it is not constitutional money. It's not
even no Constitution.
Okay, so there's no Constitution.
Yeah, so they can use any pieces of paper they want.
Okay.
They've got all their presidents and hangers-on, Alexander Hamilton and Benjamin Franklin. These are all people who supported all these Masons who supported a system of government that espoused equality and brotherhood and freedom. But it's all Masonic.
You know, I played. I don't know if you've ever heard this, Doctor. John F. Kennedy, 3 months after he was president, made a speech to reporters. And in this speech that lasted about 12, 13 minutes, he started talking about the secret societies and that government should be open and understandable by all. I think 3 months after this man took the presidency, because he did refer to this country as a republic, I think the man made his declaration and made him an enemy of the government after that speech. There were complaints, oh, the first Roman Catholic, you know, in the Oval Office. And you had the detractors of JFK. Now, there were some things that JFK did that I don't quite understand. But I know the man was dangerous enough that they killed him. They marched him up the side of Dealey Plaza, which was nothing but a Masonic symbolism, marched him up the side of the pyramid and blew his damn head off. Kennedy did some things that didn't make a whole lot of people happy. And he repeated that there are powers out there that are hard at work to take this country over. And I'm telling you, and he was saying this to the people assembled, and I'm telling you that none of these secret societies should be in existence, because that hides what government is supposed to be, open and understandable to the people. 3 months after he became president, and we all know what happened on November 22nd. 1963. The man was marched up in Dealey Plaza. See, we always cover the who, what, where, but never the why. Because this is some unexplained dark little entity that's hanging somewhere in the background. But I know what happened on November 22nd, 1963. I cannot, and there has been people that have tried to prove what happened. And there's a lot of blank filling going in, and, well, if we don't know, well, this is our assertions or whatever. But I do know this, that the President of the United States was killed in Dallas, Texas on November 22nd, 1963, and it's never been satisfied as to why he was killed. Now, he certainly said that, I'd like to spread the CIA to the four winds. That was the old OSS. They're getting too much power. I'd like to disband them. I don't want to go into Vietnam. I would pull our advisors out of there. Because why should I fight communism how many thousands of miles away when we've got a country 90 miles off our southern shore? Cuba. We've had a Cuban Missile Crisis. But there was something else that he did, Doctor. He ordered the Treasury of the United States to print United States notes, which became a competing currency against the Federal Reserve notes. And a lot of people's contention is nowadays that that's really the reason, aside from everybody else he pissed off, that was the main reason why they killed the man. Now, however we get justice back in this country, I don't see that we have a whole lot of time to educate, since the medium is small and we're not backed by the billionaires out there that we have in these corporatized, sanitized, we decide what to report to you, and what we basically give you is our opinion. We don't report news, so you decide for yourself what's right or wrong. I'm saying, Doctor, we don't have a whole hell of a lot of time left.
Well, I think you do. I think I've created a course that you can get this education in a few hours.
Okay. I am going to get
you their documents, their law, their institutions, everything theirs proves what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right, Doctor, we're running out of time here, and I do appreciate you being on with us today. And I want to get your course, and I want to go through it, and I want to understand it. Because what we have to do is get down to something that everybody understands and everybody can use. See, here's been the problem. It's, as we've been demonstrating for the last 2 hours on this radio program, that you're right, and on certain issues, Peter Neese is wrong. Peter Neese is claiming on certain issues, you're wrong. What this is not doing, it's more contention and more deer in the headlights. The listeners of this audience out there, they're scratching their head right now and going, I don't know what to believe. And we either have to arrive at some consensus as to the approach that we're going to take to liberate ourselves once again and to make us ironclad off against any bully that wants to take or steal from me or mandate or threaten me to throw me in jail or declare me to be a terrorist against the United States and end up in some place like Gitmo or something with no rights, no nothing. This is where we're running short of time. I don't know what it's going to be like when the economy crashes in this country there's going to be people scrambling around just to feed themselves, and I don't think they're going to be wanting to take any constitutional courses or the course that you offer. I think we're running out of time, Doctor. I don't know. I may be wrong, but I think we're running out of valuable time.
Well, you can get my course at edrivera.com.
All right. I will look into it, and Doctor, again, I appreciate you coming on the air with us today, and I will get your course, and I will study it. I will have you back on the air.
Great.
Okay?
Okay.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, 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 well. Peter?
Was that spicy enough for you?
Here's been our problem all along. We can't get two people to sit down at the same table and understand each other. I've witnessed this now for 20 years. 20 years. Now, I'm...
Everything that I've told you, I've backed up by what's happened over a chronological era of time and how the people voluntarily waived their unalienable rights and moved over to the federal system.
Yeah.
Your sheriffs of today are under the federal system.
And
they don't even know it. I got to point it out to them.
Yeah. But I think one of the bones of contention here was contract. And
It is. It's contract. When you put your signature down there, you're volunteering.
Yeah, but his contention was that you can't contract with the government.
Sure you can.
Well, they have changed the rules. Now, you're not going to get any argument out of me.
No, that's why they created
because when you apply for a driver's license, what do they make you do?
Contract.
Sign it. When you go to get a passport, your application, what do you have to do? Sign it.
Sign it.
When you go to a hospital to birth your baby, they don't even have an option of whether they want a birth certificate or not, or whether they want a Social Security number. They used to, and I never understood this one. You know, if this is a contract and you go to work, you're in a state that you can go to work when you're 16 years of age, and the employer is telling you, well, you know, you've got to have the Social Security number, and here, sign here. We either got to get real crafty real quick, or a lot of people are going to end up dead. Because I, for one, am not going to rot in some damn federal prison or sit and wait for my government to proclaim me a terrorist in the country that I was born in.
They already have, John.
I know they have. But this is my point. Either we got to get real crafty real quick, or there's going to be a hell of a lot of dead people laying around.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've come onto your program, and I've tried to give people cases. I have rules, regulations, and everything to show where the transition took place.
And I understand exactly what you're saying. I've read what you have talked about. And I am not in argument with that. He wants to blow it off because it's of no effect. Because it's based on the Constitution. Supposedly. All right. Peter? You're in rare form today, my friend. I thank you very much.
Thank you, John, and thanks, listeners.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if I can collect my thoughts, and I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I thank you all for being here today. Mr. Tepeti from Poker Face will be with me tomorrow. There are some things going on that are going to be happening in the state of Pennsylvania. Tune in tomorrow. We'll see you then.